Hey guys, my name is Amy Coonan, and I'm your host for The Town Hall, Rubicon's first and only podcast where we share advice for techies, for earth lovers, and for penny pinchers. As much as I love the sound of my own voice, this broadcast is going to rely heavily on guests who are subject matter experts on everything, ranging from how to get your small business up and running, interviews with some of the brains behind your favorite apps, and even how to remove garbage from outer space. You never know who's going to pop up and join me next in studio, so make sure to subscribe to The Town Hall on iTunes to get our episodes downloaded directly. And if your boss is making you work through lunch or your commute is just too short and you miss something awesome, don't worry, we've got your back. You can check out our blog for recaps, reviews, and all things Town Hall. Hey everyone, and welcome to our inaugural Food Waste February episode for The Town Hall. Today I'm joined via Skype by Ends and Stems founder, CEO, and chef Allison Mountford. Allison and I got connected through Rubicon's Waste Fit Champions competition. And if you're unfamiliar with what we did, basically Rubicon, Sustainable Brands, Wharton, and Gooder, we all teamed up to recognize waste diversion superstars. So we called people Waste Fit because they're truly sustainability heroes that are slimming down on waste. You know, it's a cute campaign. People nominated their friends, their bosses, their coworkers, and with a boatload of entries coming in, we narrowed our list to celebrate the best of the best, and Allison was just that. So Allison, thank you so much for hopping on this afternoon with me.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
No one better to kick us off for Food Waste February, really. So founder, CEO, chef, there's like a lot to break down here. Take me through your professional roadmap, what you were doing before Ends and Stems, and how did your career path drive you towards becoming a fighter against food waste? What sparked your passion for sustainability?
Well, I'm a chef first. I opened my first food business barely a year out of college when I was in culinary school as a private chef. And I really liked the idea of running a business as much as I enjoyed cooking. So as opposed to going a, you know, traditional restaurant route where you don't really have much say over what's happening, the idea of being a personal chef or a private chef really meant that I got to tackle the, you know, the P&L statements and all of that fun stuff too. And that business grew for years. It was called Square Meals, and I ran it for about 10 years. Ultimately scaling up to where we were doing 4-5 catering events daily. We had a cafe, wow, and I had a team of about 18 people. I ended up selling it at the end of 2015. It's sort of, you know, as somebody who bootstrapped along the way, it just almost grew out of my control. And to really keep that business going, I at that time would have had to reinvest. And it got to be where it didn't have a piece that I wanted where I felt like we were making a difference or where there was a secondary purpose. The purpose just became, how much could we sell? And I got the opportunity to sell and move on. So I closed at the end of 2015. And at that time, I took a job in food tech. I'm in San Francisco, so food tech is huge. And I thought, let's play ping pong at lunch and see what it's like to work for a tech company. And actually, what happened there was they were throwing away so much food. And having for 10 years run my own business, if any food, edible food left in the trash can, that was my salary. And, you know, I was doing okay, but I certainly wasn't saving enough for retirement or making a ton of money or anything. So I was very, very sensitive to it. So my journey into food waste really started just by watching what this large company was wasting. And I started an Instagram feed. And what was fascinating to me is people I hadn't spoken to in 15 years were responding to my Instagram and asking me for food waste tips and how do I make stock? And, you know, if I'm chopping Brussels sprouts and the leaves fall off, can I cook those too? Or, you know, are they trash? How do I know? So I thought, wow, people want to hear about this. They want the tips. They're following through and they want to hear about it from me. And having been, you know, an entrepreneur and running my own business for so long, I immediately thought there's business here. I just need to figure out what it is. And that's been about a 2-year journey. And Ends and Stems came from that. And I'm right now building a new web app that's really going to give tons of information and a dynamic way for people at home to track and manage their food waste and really save money, build a community, and make a difference. So it's a super exciting time of what we're building right now. And, you know, even for the customers that I do have now, I sort of tell them they're in beta mode. And it's been great so far.
And Ends and Stems, I mean, at its core, well, no pun intended, is a meal plan delivery service, you know, like the Blue Aprons and all that of the world, but it has like a really obviously unique mission. So how does your business stand apart in terms of recipes, ingredients, business model? I mean, there are so many deliver to home options now. Convenience is key. How do you, you know, really set yourself apart?
So the big thing is that I don't actually send anyone any groceries. So what I found as I was, you know, as I said, people wanted to hear from me about food waste, and I'm trying to figure out what is the business here. I did a huge survey. I had almost 1,000 families and young professionals take this survey. And what I found was that they actually didn't mind going to the grocery store. And there's so many options to have groceries mailed to your house now. That wasn't a stress for them. The point that they were struggling with was deciding what to cook. And I just thought about that for a while, and it seems so trivial and crazy that that would be the sticking point for people when deciding if they should cook what they have at home or if they should go out. But it was really that piece. It's that emotional labor. It's, you know, you've gone to work, you're keeping up with the day, you're staying fit, you're doing everything you have to do. And it's like that one last piece of just, oh, what should I have for dinner? That seems to be the straw that breaks the camel's back. So Ends and Stems is super inexpensive. It's right now it's $8 a month. It might go up to 10 at most.
That's but the idea, than Netflix.
That's exactly. The point is that, you know, it's not about, you know, making a lot of money on any one customer. I want people not to really have to consider whether it's worth it for them financially or not. You know, I can save them hundreds of dollars a month if they're grocery shopping according to my plan. So it immediately pays for itself. But what people love about the meal kits like Blue Apron or any of those other companies is actually that they help you decide what to cook. They give you sort of that perfect amount of decision where you get 5 options for the week and you choose 3. So it feels like you have just enough choice that you can get the meals that you like, but you're not stuck in decision paralysis. If you go to any recipe blog or Google or Pinterest or wherever you're looking for your recipes, there are millions, many millions of options of recipes, and it's just too many and it's taking too much time for people. So all of the reducing household food waste, you know, professionals, bloggers, any of the videos that have come out, even, you know, the biggest Save the Food campaign that the NRDC has put out, they all say that the easiest way to reduce your household food waste is to first meal plan and then grocery shop from a list. But then everybody moves on from that point and just expects, you know, busy families and people that are pulled in 1,000 directions daily to follow through on those 2 items. But when you start talking to families about what that means and really unpack the time and the effort and really even the knowledge and motivation that it takes for them to do those 2 pieces, nobody's doing it. It's too much work. It takes hours, you know, 60 to 90 minutes, people say, if they do meal plan and then grocery shop from the list in order to produce those meals. So nobody does it. And that's why that's one of the main reasons why they're wasting a lot. So I simply, with Ends and Stems, do those 2 pieces. I set together a meal plan and then a grocery list so that you can pull off those recipes in the week. And then the other thing that I've been adding is a prep ahead. So if you have 1 extra hour over the weekend and you want to just get a leg up on your weekday dinners, I pull out the things that you can do in advance. So it's really just keeping it simple for people, and it's doing that labor for them, but they still go to the grocery store. So that's one of the biggest differentiators, I think, when you're talking about specifically the meal kit pieces. And then there are other meal planning services out there. There's some that have been around for almost a decade. The difference in Ends and Stems versus some of the other ones are, first, that I've been a professional chef for 15 years. I've cooked millions and millions of dollars worth of food for people. I've written so many recipes. I've told other people how to cook them. I think I have a unique voice in how I write the recipes, and I know all the tricks on how to really simplify it so that people can get a healthy, home-cooked, and hearty meal on the table, but really teaching them how to cook while they do it. And then the other piece is that the way that I choose your recipes for that week is with the intention of reducing your food waste. So instead of saying, for instance, use 1/4 cup of onion here and 1/4 cup there, I actually just do it by, you know, 1/2 onion here and 1/2 onion there. So I actually sort of have a spreadsheet in my planning to make sure that you aren't buying anything that will wind up, you know, getting slimy in your produce bin a couple days later.
That's amazing. And it really kind of speaks to our target audience. I mean, When I think of the target audience for the town hall, we're just a bunch of millennials who want to do better for the environment. We don't really know where to start. And you can probably assume that, you know, restaurants waste a bunch of food and it all goes to landfill, and that's not great. And a lot of people know that. But what I don't think everyone knows is how big of culprits like our own at-home behaviors really are. You know, as much as people say millennials are selfish and entitled, I also sometimes will say, well, it doesn't matter if I do this. You know, I'm just one person. So right. What are some statistics or stories or something that you can share with me that'll help drive the point that if we're going to fight the good fight against food waste, we have to look at our most common home behaviors first?
Absolutely. I'm a millennial myself. I completely get it. I always joke in my family that I'm the oldest millennial you can be. So I'm basically leading a pack of millennials, but I'm in there for sure. And I do think it's really interesting. And I, you know, I've talked about this a little bit before, and I struggle with, on one hand, I'm so optimistic that everything we do individually matters and collectively as a community will drive change. And, you know, the grassroots is everything. But if I'm honest, I do have those moments where I think, wow, like, you know, here I am making sure to eat everything in my produce bin and, you know, not buying extra herbs if I'm not going to use them. And then I look around and it sometimes just feels like everybody isn't paying attention, or, you know, if my neighbors aren't doing this, then what even is the point? And it's so easy to kind of give in and, you know, lose that optimism that everything you do matters. I think it does matter though. And it really is just, you have to sort of just look at the bigger picture. And my dad always says, look at the 30,000 foot view. So, you know, remove yourself from who's shopping next door to you at the grocery store. And, you know, we're starting a Facebook community so you can connect with people across the world. One of the things we'll talk about in a minute is I have this great food waste challenge happening, and it's only been going for a month. I have people from 5 different countries signed up. So it might not be the guy next to me at the grocery store who's over purchasing, but around the world, there are individuals making a difference. And as it slowly, you know, catches on with your next door neighbor or your best friend, or you're telling your sister, eventually we'll have a critical mass and things will start to change. I think the campaign that sort of resonates with me is, you know, when people say to vote with your dollar, everything that you buy, it has a ripple effect into the economy. And then people tend to pay attention when, you know, money isn't being spent. And I think we've seen it a little bit with ugly produce, which right. has gained so much steam. You know, every time you buy a misshapen apple over that perfect, shiny, you know, waxy, red, delicious, somebody's feeling that. And then eventually we're able to account for all of that money being spent. And then, you know, maybe Forbes magazine notices and they write an article about it, or, you know, these things are spreading throughout the community that way. I think the other piece too is when you commit to something that you care about and you take small actions all the time, you start to notice when other people are doing that as well. And you feel better about your own commitments and your own actions. And it just feels a little more hopeful. I think, I can't even put my finger on it really, but I do think that that's contagious and it matters. And sometimes when you read the news and everything looks so bad, if you know that you've at least done this one good thing today that will matter in the long run, I think it just makes you feel more connected and optimistic.
I couldn't agree with you more. But, and when you were talking, you know, talking about these small changes having big results, it like reminded me of like a diet, you know, like keep it simple and all the small changes will add up, and, you know, everything that they tell you in terms of like health and fitness. And one of the other things that they always tell you is like, go for the low hanging fruit. Like, what are some yes. of the easiest, simplest things that we can do? So like, what are some of your easiest, simplest tips and tricks that you do in your own house, so that someone who's listening today, you know, and who may not sign up for Ends and Stems immediately, or who may not, you know, have like a worm compost in their backyard, what's that low hanging fruit? What are a couple small actions that people can take immediately to begin to reduce their at home food waste?
Definitely. I love this question. And I say to people all the time, I love being the spokesperson for reducing your household food waste, because it saves you time, it saves you money, and it helps the planet. So there's no, you don't have to sign up for my service to make a difference. You don't have to spend any money to do it, and you can start immediately. So the biggest thing is, before you buy any more food, look at what you have in your house. Go to your fruit bin, go to your, you know, produce drawer, check what kind of cheese you have open, sort of rattling around in the back, and try to figure out what you can do with what you have. If you have a cucumber that's getting slimy, or my biggest challenge is always lettuce. I buy lettuce and then I look at it. I think, you know, I don't really like making salads, but here's that lettuce. What am I going to do with it? So find a way to cook what you already have before you go buy more things. And it kind of, I like your analogy towards eating healthy or towards being on a diet or something, because there really is that moment of willpower where you think, I don't really want lettuce, but you know, maybe if I put beans and cheese and tortilla chips on top, I could make a taco salad. And that's my favorite type of salad. So I'm just going to have the willpower to force myself to do it. So don't buy any more food until you see what you already have and see what you can make out of that. And then the other piece really is meal planning. And you can meal plan on your own. You know, that is what my business is, but you can do it on your own. And it's really as simple as just choosing a few recipes and then buying the ingredients to pull off those recipes. And then when you are in the grocery store, you know, don't go up and down every aisle pulling things, you know, haphazardly off of the shelf just because it spoke to you in that moment. If you don't have a plan for everything you buy, especially perishable items, then those are the ones that you're going to end up throwing out a few weeks later. The third easy thing you can do at home is just serve yourself smaller portion sizes. And if you have little kids, I have toddlers, this especially applies to them because they tend to just jettison everything onto the floor. But if everybody has a smaller plate to begin with, it's easier to feel intrigued by eating your leftovers later. Personally, if something's been on my plate or it's been, you know, on my family's plate, to put it back in for the leftovers and then think I'm going to eat it tomorrow, it just doesn't seem as fresh or appetizing. But if you serve yourself a small plate, if you want more, go get seconds. You know, nobody's stopping you. But that way, everything you're putting away for leftovers is untouched. It's been cooked once, and then it really holds its integrity. So it makes a more appetizing meal the second day. And I guess I would round that out then by saying, if you have leftovers, eat them. Just make yourself do it.
That's like one of the biggest things in our house now is using our leftovers. And the other thing that we do is I actually live on an organic farm and I back up right to it and we get a farm share.
I know that about you, actually.
You what?
I know that about you because I listened to your last episode where you were talking about the community and farming.
Yes, hear me. So we get our farm share all the time and there's these gorgeous carrots and amazing onions and radishes and everything that I don't use now, I keep in a Ziploc bag, which I actually learned from your blog to make stock. And I hate for us to be having like these fangirl moments, but I was like a early on ends and stemmers because I found you on Instagram because of a risotto that you made. It came up on my Explore. I started following. I was drooling. I think about it all the time. I'm not eating carbs right now until I get married, but that's like the first thing I'm going to make in 8 months. But, you know, the company is called Ends and Stems because you literally use veggie ends and stems. So
right.
How do you test recipes and make sure they're going to work with what people would consider the wasted portion of a product? How are you selling delicious food for what people have been conditioned to think I should throw that in the trash?
I mean, one of my inspirations in this specifically is Chef Dan Barber, who's father of food waste in a lot of ways and just reforming our food systems. And I could listen to him talk all day. He just has, at first he'll scare the pants off you and make you think that we're all going to die and everything we're doing is wrong and the world's going to implode. But then he's so calm and cool and he like repairs you and gives you all these solutions on how you can fix it. And I just love the way he talks about these things. And he's selling food, you know, for a lot of money. I mean, his food is some of the best in the country.
I ate at Blue Hill and it was insane.
I've never been. My friend lives nearby and I need to get there. But he's taking plants and, you know, the outer leaves on cauliflower and he's taking the stalks on like wheat and things that I don't even know how to cook. I don't even have access to those vegetables and those parts because I'm not on a farm. So, you know, my ends and stems are truly just what you get in the grocery store. And I think it really is just in experimenting and being creative. And I do have the advantage of just cooking a lot of food for a lot of people. So I do get to do a lot of recipe testing and figuring these things out. So I feel like it is my role that I'm excited to fulfill is to be the one testing, hey, you know, how far out on the cauliflower can we eat these leaves? And, you know, what can we do with these broccoli stems or the carrot tops? Just because they kind of come through my kitchen a lot more than an average person. But, you know, you're paying for those. When you buy a bunch of carrots, you're paying for the tops. Even if you don't bring them home, the grocery store is pricing them out by weight. So the more you can use up all these extra bits, you know, that really just goes in the save money bucket, because you're getting, if you think of it as calories, you know, those peels on your carrots or on your potatoes are calories that you've paid for. So you might as well figure out a way to cook them and eat them. You know, if you're washing things and preparing them properly, most parts of vegetables are edible, and it's really just a very old fashioned way of cooking, more than it's like an old fashioned way that's become new again.
Yeah. I mean, they call it, you know, ends and stems, root to leaf, whatever you want to call it. Steven Satterfield, who's a chef in Atlanta. You know, I also consider Dan Barber the father of food waste, and I consider Satterfield like the crazy uncle. I mean, these people are doing things, you know, you too, maybe you're the crazy aunt, who knows, but you guys are doing something really unique and really special. And you've been in the industry for, you know, way over a decade. And how do you see the sustainable food waste, you know, chefy trend? Where do you see that a decade from now? Because it's only going to get bigger and better.
All I know is that when I talk to people and people who are finding me and signing up Friends in STEMS and the people that I, you know, bump into, it's catching on at home and people want to hear about this. When I first started, you know, doing the meal planning business, I remember my brother who is a big fan, and he signs up and he cooks all the meals, but he was like, maybe you should tone down the food waste part. Maybe people don't care and it's going to drive people away from your business. But I actually think talking about it more and making it a bigger deal has actually made my business a lot more interesting. And, you know, like I said, people I knew in high school who I haven't spoken to since the 90s are writing me messages on Facebook to ask these questions. So I think we're only going to see this continue, and people at home are only figuring it out more. You know, the other scary thing is they're saying, the climate reports are saying we have 12 years until we really start to see effects across the country, not just in, you know, some of the low-lying places. So I think as people start to feel the effects of climate change more, and it's harder to ignore it in your daily life, people are going to be looking for more of these, you know, individual behavior change solutions. But we're still going to be really busy. So something like reducing your household food waste through deciding what to cook is a really easy place to start, because you have to figure out dinner every night anyway. So you might as well do it in a way that's better for your wallet and better for the planet. And I think we're only going in that direction. I think the famous chefs and the, you know, restaurants, there's actually a new restaurant just opening up in San Francisco where they're only cooking with sort of the odds and ends, and they've been getting a lot of press for that. All of those things are fantastic because they just bring more press and awareness to the issue. And then I see my role really as helping people, you know, not just visit that restaurant on a Saturday night, but figure out what's the homemade version of what they're doing in the restaurant, and bridging that gap and really making it possible for people.
Right. I mean, you're tackling Monday through Friday. So
exactly.
That makes sense. I'm not quite done with you yet. The hard part's actually just getting started. I'm going to play a little game with you. I play with all my guests. It's just, you know, kind of helps to, you know, humanize everybody a little bit. You know, every sustainability influencer, we come in with our big ideas and our big answers, and I just want to get to know you a little bit more. So I'm going to ask you 10 rapid fire questions, and you just spit off the first thing that comes to the top of your mind. Okay.
Okay.
What is your favorite thing to cook for your family?
Pizza.
Who is the last person that you texted?
My dad.
What is one piece of kitchen gear you think that everyone should invest in?
A really great chef's knife. Find the length that suits you, treat it well, don't put it in the dishwasher, keep it sharp, and you only need one for like the next 20 years.
If anyone, dead or alive, could play you in the movie of your life, who would you cast as yourself and why?
Oh, man. This is a crazy, crazy answer. Can I say Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Sure. I actually really like that answer. I love him.
Me too. I think he can pull it off. That's his whole shtick.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
I actually wanted to be Jeff Corwin or Jack Hanna, like one of those guys who gets to go on the Today Show or the Tonight Show with all the crazy animals.
Yeah. Since you went to NYU, what is the best slice of pizza in New York?
Oh my God. I haven't set foot in New York in like 9 years. I forget the name of it, but we used to go to that place on 6th Ave that's super famous for slices. We'll have to look it up and put it in the liner notes. I can't even remember. I could walk myself there, but I can't remember the name of it.
Fine. Just email me.
I'm a terrible New Yorker. It's been a long time.
It's all research. I'm going to New York. I've asked every guest I've ever had that is any remotely connected to New York. I always ask them about pizza, and I keep a list. Of course, after my wedding, no carbs until then. What is your can't miss TV show?
Oh, I love The Good Place.
Oh, same. Kristen Bell's an angel.
So funny.
So since you're a waist fit champion, if you could win any national title, Super Bowl, Olympic gold, World Series, which one would you want to win?
Cool. Let's see. Yeah, it would probably be one of the sporting events. I like that. But what even are the national titles? That's a tough one. I would probably say, man, I don't even know. What's the medal that not the Medal of Honor. What's the one that the president gave to Ellen? How about one of those?
Oh, I think it is Medal of Honor.
Yeah.
The one where Obama's behind her and she's crying. And
Yeah. One of those moments.
Yeah, I've seen that meme. Savory or sweet?
Sweet.
And lastly, what does success mean to you?
You know, I think there's two parts. There's the small success where you really just make a difference to one person. You know, there are moments like that. I had one lady write me an email yesterday just saying how much Ends and Stems has made a difference in her house. And that's success, absolutely. But greater success is actually starting to change the course of the future and, you know, help preserve the planet for my kids and let them live the kind of life that I've been able to.
And Allison, where can people find you, find the business if they want to learn more?
So it's endsandstems.com. And then we also have a Facebook group. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and it's all at Ends and Stems. And then the other initiative I'd love people to look up is called the Great Food Waste Challenge. And this is actually a free version of Ends and Stems. So it's not doing your meal planning, but it's sort of like a pledge for 2019 for people just to stand up, be counted and say, hey, I am going to pay attention to my food waste. And that's the one I was referencing where we have over 5 different countries represented already. And my goal this year is to get 2,000 people signed up. It's sort of like the Order of Plastic Free July or one of those.
Right.
So we're just starting out and it's once monthly email. It's totally free. You can share it online. And it's really just a, you know, community of people saying, you know, this is the low hanging fruit. I'm going to pay attention to this year. And we're giving out tons of tips and tricks. So the Great Food Waste Challenge or at Ends and Stems.
No better challenge, no better campaign to kick off Food Waste February. You know, it was so much fun getting to hang with you. And I do know that you sparked some real tangible change today in and out of the kitchen. So Allison, again, thank you so much for everything.
Thanks, Amy. It was so good to talk to you.